Hello and welcome back to another episode of Kadri Talks Football, and I am Kadri and I'm here to talk football. No Premier League football this last weekend. International breaks, we hate international breaks, but what can we do? Let's just talk more football, let's engage in more interesting stuff. So as you can see by the title of the video, where I am ranking my top 10 most creative players. My top 10 most creative players. If you disagree, let me know. So I am going to discuss. I'm going to try and define what I see as creativeness and try and give an in-depth analysis on the people I think are creative. But also, I would like to hear your opinion. I'd like to know who you guys think should have been in the top 10. Who you think would be with time. Just whatever opinion you have. So, just before we get into the video, like, comment, subscribe, share. More importantly for me, comment, because that's why I started this channel, to engage in football discussions with random people. So, yeah, let's get into it. So, I'll start from 10th and get to the first. I think some people are quite obvious. Most of the names should be obvious because it's not the most difficult. I mean, it's quite difficult, but in terms of creativity, I think we have some household names and everyone should just expect to hear their names. But for the 10th and 9th, it was difficult for me. Certain people missed out, people that I think so many other people would complain about them missing out, but I just feel like some people just don't deserve to be in the top 10. But anyway, my 10th player is Pedro Porro. Yes, Porro is one of them. It's up there. One of the best creative fullbacks in the league, and he's not just limited to crossing the ball, you know, running on the wing and whipping crosses. Now he can give you any sort of pass you want. The types of passes that we hail other fullbacks for, like Trent, I've seen Porro do that a lot. I know he can also invert into midfield and give you options from midfield, from like the center of the pitch. To me, which is harder, I feel like it is harder to pass in the middle of the pitch than it is to pass from an angle. When I play football, I usually pass from an angle because it's the easiest. Passing, I can pass from anywhere on the pitch, just putting it out there. But I know personally that when I'm at an angle, it's easier to pick a spot, it's easier to pick out my player. I don't know how to explain the physics behind it, to be honest, but it is easier. So that's why certain fullbacks, you know, they get a lot of assists sometimes, but when it comes to like creativity, I feel like Porro is just up there. He can give you everything. He can, I won't say he can control a tempo, but he can give you passes in midfield that will help you progress the ball and also give you that final ball at the end. And last season, he got like lots of assists to show for it. And I feel like he's only going to get better. And I think Porro's name is going to be up there with time to come. If, you know, Spurs decide to do something, or if he decides to leave, you know, Madrid are shopping for your fullback now. So your right back isn't safe. No one's right back is safe except Chelsea's. Diaz is in the hospital. So that is my 10th most creative player. Yes. Now that you've heard my 10th, I'm sure everyone is thinking, you're looking at your own list thinking, certain mans are not going to make it if he's put Porro in. Well, this is my list. I don't care. Anyway, moving on to 9th, Morgan Gibbs-White. Yeah. You're probably looking at your list thinking, oh God, this guy, he's ruined it. But anyway, Gibbs-White is like one of the best attacking midfielders in the league. He's very strong, very quick. He's like, this is not an outrageous comparison. I'm not saying he's up to this player's level, this player I'm about to mention. I'm not saying he will ever get to this player's level. But in terms of style of play, the way he plays, he's like Kaka. He can dribble in tight spaces. He can run. He's a powerful runner of the ball. and he can give you an elite, exquisite final pass. I mean, you can see he's part of that formidable forward line in Forest with Hudson-Odoi, Elanga, Wood, and just Gibbs right behind. Like, when it comes to final balls, there's not too many better than him. And the fact that he does it from the middle of the pitch where it is crowded, you know, where you have to dribble your way out and you have to pick a pinpoint pass because there's a line in front of you, like two centre backs, sometimes a DM in front of you and whatnot. Morgan Gibbs-White picks out his passes really well, and he can also give you those crosses from angles which Chris Wood seems to enjoy a lot. I really like him. And yeah, so I've given you my 10th and 9th now, but let me try and discuss what I think creativity is, first of all. Well, it can't be first of all. I've given you two players on the list anyway. But anyway, so I had a discussion with Dennis. He's appeared on my channel. If you haven't seen it, you should go see it. We made a combined United Liverpool 11, and now I'm pretty sure that video is so stupid because we were making cases for United players, which makes no sense. But anyway, he doesn't rate certain people because of the position they find themselves in, the position where they create from. For him, creativity has to come from the center of the pitch, and it makes no sense to me. For me, creativity has to be with providing a ball I'm saying the obvious. It feels like I'm saying the obvious, but creativity for me is just giving that ball a perfect ball from wherever you are. Not every fullback can cross like Poro or Trippier or Trent. So those three people I've mentioned, I would term them as creative fullbacks. But I'm not going to put Walker as a creative fullback, even though, you know, he plays the same position. And no matter where the angle of where they're creating from is, like, it doesn't make them any less of creators. Same thing with wingers. Not every winger can create from the wing. But there are certain elite wingers that will beat their man on the touchline and put in a perfect cross, whipping the cross where you don't even have to think too much. You hit it once, it goes in the post, or at least it leads to a shot on target. And then, well, the midfielders who, you know, Dennis thinks are the people we should call creators. So, like, my point is, I'm not limiting creativity to just one part of the pitch, to certain types of players, people that just make line-breaking passes, which that's what people tend to link creativity with. For me, creativity is more than that. If you can whip a perfect set piece, you are a creative player. If you can whip a perfect cross, you're a creative player. And, well, not just whip it once and disappear. No, if you do it consistently, then you're a creative player. It's definitely not limited to them Ozil type of players. Anywhere you are on the pitch and you can make a pass that leads to a chance consistently, you're a creative player. Now you've heard my definition of what creativity is. You have my 10th and 9th player, and now we're going to go into the rest of the list. So in 8th place, I have Odegaard. I don't think Odegaard even has a better final pass than Gibbs-White. But I put him just ahead because, like I said, it's not limited to exquisite passes. It is about creating at the end of the day. How you get to create isn't necessarily important to me. Obviously, some people look good just because of those passes. Like when you make those long passes that beat like 10 people, it looks so much better. But with Odegaard tries off link-up play. Like he dribbles, you know, dribbles in tight spaces, little cute passes. He doesn't do too much. Odegaard isn't fancy when it comes to passes. He can give fancy passes, like there was a pass he gave against Porto last season, which was beautiful. But his game isn't about fancy passes. His game is about creating the space to make that last pass. He will keep on, you know, interplaying with Saka or with Gabriel Jesus or Havertz or whoever is playing the first nine, like, or whoever is beside him in midfield or his fullback. He keeps on making those short passes until, you know, someone has made a perfect run. And then he makes, you know, at the end of the day, where he finds himself is when he makes that final pass, it ends up being a short pass because he's passed his way into the opposition's box. And then once he has found that space he was looking for, a player has made that perfect run, the pass is very short and it is perfect. And I really like players like him. I really like those creating by passes, by short passes, which is really good. And, you know, his players trust him because every time he gives them the ball, they give it back to him because they know at some point he's going to make that pass. It doesn't really come off a lot because at the end of the day, well, let me not say it doesn't come off a lot. It comes off now because he's definitely working for us now. But at the end of the day, most of the plaudits gets to Saka because when Saka makes that run, Saka doesn't necessarily shoot. Saka then crosses and then it doesn't count as a chance created for Odegaard, which is unfair when you look at the fact that he's the one that has created that whole gameplay by himself. So I still count that as creativity. And he still gets a lot of assists anyway. He got 10 last season. He got a lot this season before. So he's still very much a creative player. He doesn't give you the fancy, exquisite passes, but he's very much a creative player. And he makes it to 8 on my list. And then his partner makes it to 7th, Saka. Saka, I feel like Saka, in years to come, Saka will move up my list. Maybe because other people have retired or something. Or no, but no, Saka is really good. Like I said, you know, he makes these passes with Odegaard. Okay, so that's one part of his game I'm going to talk first on. He makes these exquisite passes or these short passes with cute passes with Odegaard. You know, they keep on passing around themselves. They make a triangle until they get to the opposition box, and then one person makes a run. Most times it is Saka that makes the run, and then Odegaard gives him the ball, and half the time Saka shoots, the other half he crosses in, he squares the ball in, and he gets an assist. So he creates a chance from that lots of times, and to me that is creativity. First of all, being able to interplay the 1-2s, form a triangle. Secondly, being able to pass the ball on the run in tight, because in those spaces it's usually crowded, defenders are trying to protect their lines and everything, and he has to run and he has to hit the ball quickly. Sometimes he stops the ball, you know, he dribbles someone, looks up, picks a pass. Either way, it's creativity. And also his set pieces are perfection. Like, people are hailing Arsenal for set pieces. Like, everyone, almost, I would say, I'd like to believe that every team has a set piece coach. But Arsenal set piece coach is getting a lot of plaudits, rightfully so. He's come up with a lot of, you know, good set piece routines. But to be able to pull it off, you need to have the players to pull it off. Saka beats every man he needs to beat. He puts the ball where the ball needs to be, and then he leaves it up to the Salibas and the Gabriels to do what they need to do. If it was that easy, if people like to, you know, insult him, or let me not say insult, but try to downplay his assist because they are set pieces. To me, set pieces assists are arguably the hardest to get. I mean, the only thing you can say is if you get lots of set pieces in the game, you're more likely to get an assist, and that is true, yes. But it is not easy to do that same thing over and over again. Teams are scared when Arsenal get a set piece. And it's crazy. It's almost like they've gotten a penalty. And for you to put that type of fear in teams is because you are perfect, near perfect at what you're doing. And Saka does that so well. There are no line breaking passes yet in this game. I think where he's at is Salah's level when he was at Roma and his first season at Liverpool, where they were in line breaking passes, but, you know, playing like a winger, running, cutting in, crossing. And yeah, Saka does those far posts. You know this cross that people are trying to claim that is Yamal's thing? Salah, Saka, they've been doing it from time. I mean, Yamal maybe does it more from a central area, but Salah and Saka do it more from an angle. But yeah, those crosses too are very nice. At the back post, you see Martinelli running in. Even Havertz tends to get to the ball most of the time, or Trossard. And those are nice crosses. That to me is creativity. To be able to do that at a consistent level, that is creativity. But anyway, Saka makes it into 7th. And at 6th, we have Maddison. Maddison is very creative. I think should, on the I think he should be higher up, to be honest. He's one of the ones where I was thinking he should be higher, because when I watch him, he's like the standard for a creative player for me. He's like Bruno Fernandes, but that can actually play football. Okay, maybe not. Let me not say it like that, because it sounds like I'm disrespecting Bruno. My aim is to disrespect Bruno, yes, but not that much. He's more of a midfielder. He's more of a I would think before I do, unlike Bruno, who just does. And he gives that final ball, perfect final ball. The problem is he's not as consistent. Maybe it's because of his injuries. Maybe it's because of, you know, coming in and coming out of seasons. Maybe that's why I'm not quick to put him above certain people. But when it comes to that final ball, he's just good from the central. He's you know, basically same things I said for Morgan Gibbs-White. Is Maddison, but Maddison can control the tempo even better. Maddison can drop deep, can pick up the ball, can give you that long, beautiful, exquisite pass from the middle of the pitch. He will put the ball on your head. He will put the ball on your feet. He will put the ball on your chest. He will make you run into the ball, tapping. Like, he's very good, very, very good creative player. He has his flaws, you know. He's not the best presser. He's not the most hardworking player, and, you know. But when it comes to creativity, to me, he's up there, top six in the league, definitely. To be fair, I was thinking of putting Maddison above who this person who came in at fifth, Trent. Now, I don't think it should even be an argument. Like, Trent to me is the best passer in the league. There's this argument, Trent or De Bruyne, who is the best passer? For me, it is Trent. De Bruyne has exquisite balls. He can make final passes. He can make passes from almost every angle. But Trent can also do the same thing. Trent can kill games with passes. There was a period in Liverpool where Trent used to do it very often in a game where he'll cross the ball. He'll make a pass cross field to Robertson. And he said it, and when he said it, it made sense to me. He said, or the reason why he said he does it is to kill the momentum in games. You know, teams have started pressing since Klopp came into the league. Teams have adapted to this pressing mentality, so they are always trying to press the person on the ball. And what Trent does is, when the team tries to press on the right side, he just switches it to the left side. And to maintain their tactics, to maintain the shape that the coach has given them, or the instruction that the coach has given them, they have to switch and run to the left side, to where the ball is. And that is very stressful for players. So, but anyway, and they are the set pieces where he is one of the best in the league. Recently, he's been bad at set pieces, I'll be honest. Like, I don't know, I don't say he's been bad, because we saw him put a perfect cross in the Champions League for Konate. So I think the set piece coach has given them a routine, and the routine just isn't paying off because, you know, things that the shape is just not there. So that's why that's what I want to say anyways, the reason for his bad set pieces in recent times. But we all know Trent can cross the ball. He came into the limelight from crosses, and then started giving exquisite passes. Like, he crosses like a perfect fullback, passes like a perfect midfielder. Like, he is just everything, and his assist numbers are insane. Like, he has like 80 plus Premier League goal contributions already as a fullback. You just know that how insane he is, and he's only 26. I want to believe he would break 100 assists before he leaves, if he doesn't go to Madrid, that is. But yeah, Trent makes it at fifth for me. The top four, well, now that you've heard my five players, there are certain players you would definitely know that missed out now, because you're already thinking at least three players should definitely be here. And one, I mean, I feel like the top four should be a definite. So there are certain people that have missed out. I'll speak on certain people that missed out and explain why they missed out. Because there's one especially to me that I don't rate creatively, or those other people will rate him. But yeah. So in fourth place, this person would be higher if it was last season or a couple, maybe two seasons ago. But I guess I don't want to say it's an age thing, because it's still at the level. Maybe okay, you know what? Nah, it's just this other person has just done too much now. But anyway, fourth place is Salah. Ugh, I could go on days and days about Salah, and I'm not even trying to, I'm not even going to talk about any other thing here. Just his creativity. I watched Salah at Roma. At least some parts of his games at Roma. He was the way Saka is today. Link up plays, makes that run, crosses, squares it into the box. Dzeko is always there, or he cuts back, whips in a far post cross, and it works out for him. Creatively, he was so good as a winger. He was that winger type creator, just like Saka is today. Came into the Premier League, he was like that too in the first season, because we had Coutinho to take on the burden of creating. Coutinho left, and then he took on the burden of creating before Trent came in anyway. And he, these line breaking passes that he's making today, and people are saying he's adapted his game to be. This has been Salah since day one. Let me not say day one, since his second season at Liverpool. This has been Salah. All this talk about he's adapted his game, he's now becoming more of a creator. I don't know where they're getting it from. In fact, he's even creating less than he was seasons before. Salah was usually hitting like Bruno or James Maddison numbers in terms of chances created in a season. Like, he was doing it way more then. What I'll say is he has polished his passes. Before, he was creating in large volumes. Now he's not just creating in large volumes, he's creating big chances. So that is a stat that I rate so much. It still has its flaws, just like every stat. But with big chances, you're not, if I make a 5 yard pass to you and you run and dribble with the ball, it's not a big chance, but it counts as a chance created. But big chances are chances that you have no choice but to hit the ball. You have no choice but to attack the ball. And Salah, to me, is the best in the league when it comes to that. Okay, him and De Bruyne are the best when it comes to that. It's not just about creating chances in large volume, keep on making the same passes over and over and over again, hoping that somebody will hit it. No, it's about making the incisive pass, the true pass that will make your player think, if I don't hit this ball, then just arrest me. And Salah does it better than almost everyone in the league. And he's just so good, man. I could go on about this guy. Like, it's great. It's taking so long for people to start showing him respect. People are now showing him respect, and they are trying to not pretend, because they've always disrespected him. They can't believe that this is how he has always been. So they're trying to say, well, he's just changed this game. Now, Salah hasn't changed this game. This has been Salah from day one. But anyway, I'm glad people are starting to notice it anyway. I don't even care about anyone's opinions on Salah. Like, he's one of them guys that will forever be disrespected, but the real ones will always respect him, will always give him his credits, and he's just an unreal player, man. And to my top three, third place is Palmer. Like, Palmer's just coming and he's stealing everyone's crown. Like, I don't even know where to start from, because he started from the wing for Chelsea, and the way he was playing, he was drifting into the middle, and they had just had to move him to the middle because he was leaving that right wing vacant. I really like him. He's also one of the players that will give you a pass that you don't have to think about. Just hit it. Just hit the ball, and he's so good at it. He's similar to Odegaard in the sense that, like, he doesn't really do them link up plays. Nah, he's more of a. It's more, Palmer isn't. This isn't, I'm not trying to disrespect him. He isn't much of, he doesn't really have much of, I don't want to say impact, but I will use the word impact. He doesn't really have much of an impact in build-up plays. He doesn't really do anything if you watch him. He's not involved in the first phase or second phase. But that last phase, once the ball gets to his feet at the edge of the box, it's over. He just knows what to do. He knows when it is time to shoot. He knows when it is time to pass. That intelligence is what makes him stand out. Is why his numbers are with the way they are. Because it's not luck. You can't do this by luck. You can have a freak season, yes, and then drop off. But what he's doing is not luck. Like when you watch him play, you just know that this guy is he's making the right decisions, and that is what is that's one of the most important things for creative players, making the right decisions at the right time. I've not seen too many passes in this game, but the passes he has in his locker are good enough to create proper chances. Only his second proper season, and I'm going to watch him more and see if he improves, if he's going to improve, or if it looks like he's going to improve. But for now, he's made it in the top three just because what he does, it isn't stylishly, it's probably not on the level of so many other players that I've mentioned. But what he does it efficiently and consistently. And that is good enough for me to put him in my top three. And the second most creative player in the league is Haaland. I'm joking. is Bruno Fernandes. Bruno Fernandes. Bruno is not the quickest. He's not the smartest. He's not good at football. Yeah, that's it. All of that. He's not this, he's not that. But the one thing we can't take away from Bruno is final passes. Like, he can mess up everything in you. He can score 10 own goals. But one thing you cannot take away from him is his creativeness. He is one of the best final passes of the ball. Like, final passers. From the middle of the pitch, I think he's the best, to be honest. Like when we're talking central areas in the 10 position, who can look up, who can pick up their head and make the best pass? The way all the props I've given to Palmer now, that is Bruno. It is Bruno. How do I phrase this? Bruno is Palmer. The way I define Palmer, Bruno is Palmer on an even higher level. And his passes are not just simple. That's what makes it unique again. With Palmer, you know, he makes the right decisions. He does them efficiently and consistently. With Bruno, he does them efficiently, consistently, and he makes them look good. Sometimes it's a back heel. Sometimes it's a no-look, up-through pass. Like, he's doing them so good. Okay, efficiently, maybe not, because Bruno is one of them large volumes. He keeps on doing the same thing over and over again, keeps on hitting the ball and hoping that one will work out. And it's bad for his team, and that is one of the reasons why I don't like him. But when it pays off, oh my God, and he's paid off a lot. Look at his numbers, for fuck's sake. He is so good at it. And to me, top one when it comes from central areas for creating chances. But the reason why I won't put him as number one is because the person I have as number one just does it from different areas of the pitch, which to me is what makes a creative player. You're not limited to just one area of the pitch. Yes, you're a 10, but like, can you do it when you find yourself in another position? If you've managed to find yourself on the wing or wherever. And that person is De Bruyne. Like, any position on the pitch, he will deliver, he will make a pass, he will give you that final ball. You don't have to think, you just hit the ball. De Bruyne, like, from the wing, he crosses like a fullback. From deep, he crosses like a fullback. From the wing, he crosses like a winger. From central areas, he plays a perfect pass like he's Ozil. Like, he's just so good. Like, I don't even have too many words to say about him. I'm sure everyone has said everything there is to say about De Bruyne. He's just so good. Like, listen, just take everything I've said about everyone, from Pedro Porro up to Bruno. That is Kevin De Bruyne. And he's not the best. I won't say he's the best at passes from certain angles. Like, from deep, I won't say he's better than Trent. From central area, I won't say he's better than Bruno. From the wing, I think he's probably the best. But the point I was trying to make is he is just an accumulation of all these things. He might not be the best at certain, like, he might not be top number one in certain areas, but he's the one person that has everything as a whole. He's just so good. Like, he's just so good. He's an accumulation of everyone I've listed today. from Pedro Porro to Bruno. Like, he's an accumulation of every one of them, from crossing to deep, from wings, from the interplays. When he was with David Silva, you know, they did David Silva, Sané, Sterling, he was doing them link-up plays, them one-twos, forming them triangles. And then when Silva left, he was playing them through passes. When Haaland came, playing through passes from the middle. He was also, with when Aguero was there, he used to go from the wing. I think there was a time people were calling him a fullback, like, or he can only pass from a certain angle. Like, he is so good. The best creative player in the world, if you ask me right now. But yeah, like, the people that will say Bruno is better than Neymar at it, and only because Bruno makes his passes look fancy when they come off. But De Bruyne is very efficient, very consistent. To me, the best. But yeah, guys, those are my top 10 most creative players. There are people that missed out, people that... So I asked my friends to send me a list. Those idiots did not send me any list. But one person did. He sent me his list, and he had Foden and Bernardo Silva in his list. Bernardo Silva... I don't think he's creative enough to make him my top 10. Probably not even my top 15. But he's good. He's a very good creative player. You know, he's one of the ones that dribbles to find space before he makes the final pass. But Silva dilly-dallies a lot. He doesn't... He won't make that final pass because he would choose to dribble again. He's that type of player, and he just doesn't make it. Foden is not a creative player. I won't. Probably not. Doesn't make my top 15 either. He's not a creative player. He's very cute, very tidy in tight spaces on the half turns. One of the best top three. If I was to give someone, pass someone the ball in a tight space in the Premier League, like, so that you can turn and get out and do something with it, I trust Foden. But to make that final pass, I just don't see it from him, man. He's not that guy. The other people that I probably can't think of right now that would have missed out. Trippier is there, but I don't know. Trippier has fallen off. It was between Trippier and Porro for me, definitely. But I went with Porro because Porro just looks more of a midfielder. Like, not that he can play in midfield, but his passes are more of a midfield-esque. Unlike Trippier, who just crosses a lot. And his crosses are very good to me. One of the best in the league. Can't really think of anyone else that I think could make a case for top 10. McNeil. I like McNeil from Everton too. He's not one of them exquisite passers, but he has a good set piece on him. He has a good cross on him. And he can also make line breaking passes when he needs to. James Ward-Prowse, set pieces. Oof. Yeah, I mean, there are certain people that have missed out. Would like to hear you guys' opinions on who you think should have made my top 10. But I like my top 10 anyway. Yeah, that's the end of the video. I am going to creatively get out of this video. So like, comment, subscribe, share, do all of the nice things, and see you in the next video. Peace.